I'm going to do something this morning that I never really do. And the purpose for what I'm going to say next is to prepare us for the message that the Apostle Paul has given us in the Philippian letter, chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. Since March, some days I feel like I'm in the front lines of a battle. And I feel like I'm outnumbered about 1,000 to 1. I'm fighting for all I'm worth, which isn't much, to proclaim the truth of God's word to people I hope are paying attention and applying God's word. I'm doing everything within my power through the Holy Spirit to inculcate in people hope, dismiss fear, because the scripture says 365 times, do not fear. The constant changes in ministry are disturbing. You can't plan much because about the time you do, something comes along that changes what you're doing. A little bit frustrating, but possible to work through. We have church members who have basically dropped out, and that's fine. Across the country, 1 out of 3 church members have desisted. Whether they will ever come back or not, nobody really knows. We trust that they will once they receive a vaccine or whatever it is they're looking for. And we praise God for those who are taking good care of themselves. There are times that I want to murmur. But we found out last week that you should not murmur, so I try not to do that. Other times I want to stomp my feet and scream. But that doesn't avail anything. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. So those things that generally come across in our thinking have to be put aside and replaced by the teaching of the Word of God. How many of you have felt a little frustrated since March? Huh? Yeah. I think the feelings that I'm expressing here, and maybe I'm overdoing them a little bit, to prepare you for the message, it seems like our total focus is on COVID. But you know, in our congregation and in our community, there are people who are suffering from a wide variety of problems. Cancer, COPD, diabetes. Some who have recovered from COVID have simply lost their smell and are hoping that that will come back someday. But it seems like COVID has captured our minds and our hearts. It shouldn't be that way. We need to deal with it sanely, sensibly, biblically. But it should not trap us into focusing on coronavirus 24/7. And then last week, the Lord gave me something that I wasn't looking for. He gave me hip bursitis. I did not know that something could be that painful. And they said, don't stand up, don't sit down, and of all things, don't lay down, because that's when it's the worst. So I'm supposed to be suspended somewhere between heaven and earth. But I will get through this. So if I fall asleep during the message, it's because I'm not sleeping very well. And honestly, I didn't. This happened because 5 years ago I had knee replacement surgery. They destroyed my peroneal nerve, and I walk like a duck. And I knew that this would happen eventually because of the strange gait with which you have to walk when you have drop foot. The other thing that concerns me right now is what's happening in the churches across the United States. 700 ministers are leaving the pulpit each and every month. I've done some research on that, and the reason for that is exactly what I've explained. You can't plan anything much, and if you do, it's going to be changed. And finances in many churches are way down. Thank God the Lord has blessed us with reasonable finances. And so many churches have had to cut staff. Consequently, across the country, ministers are simply leaving the ministry. I looked at Manhattan Christian College. They have a situation on their site where if you're looking for a church, you can go and look at those. And there was 121 churches looking for pastors. All of a sudden, since March, the age of pastors has increased to 65 years of age and older because young men are not taught in seminary how to deal with such a thing like we are in today. None of us were taught in seminary how to deal with a pandemic, exactly. So why do I share this with you? I won't be sharing it again, by the way. Because the Apostle Paul says in the Philippian letter, press on. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens in my life, the scripture tells us to press on, press on, press on. This is what the Apostle Paul said. And remember last week we talked about the fact that he wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And he said, I want to enjoy the fellowship of sharing, enjoy the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. That's quite a statement. And now this week he kind of amplifies on that and lets us know that he hadn't arrived there yet. Not that I have already obtained all this. He had not fully experienced the power of the resurrection, although he had experienced a great deal of it, and we talked about what that means, the forgiveness of sin, the gift of the Holy Spirit, conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. None of us are. But I press on. That's what we want to get into today, to press on, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. That's really an encouraged passage of Scripture to me. Because what Paul is saying is, we simply do not have to be perfect. In fact, we are not perfect. We will never be perfect in this life. That is something that's reserved for us in heaven, according to 1 Peter. In other words, Paul is not saying that you've got to experience the fullness of the resurrection or the fullness of the suffering of Christ, because in this body, we simply are not perfect. We can't be perfect, but here's what we can do. We can, you're getting it. We can press on. We don't have to apologize for our imperfection, but we do have to press on. Let me ask you a personal question, and if you want to stand up and answer it, that'd be great. Since March, since all of this has begun with the pandemic, have you grown in Christ? Do you read the Bible more? Do you pray more? Or have you regressed? What has happened to you since the coronavirus? How much of your thinking in a day's time is centered on the coronavirus as compared to quoting Scripture, praying, sharing with your spouse and your children the Word of God? Because the Word of God is powerful. It's living. And it's the solution to everything that we experience. So you answer that question for yourself. Where have you been since March 2020 in your growth for the Lord Jesus Christ? Over and over again, we're going to be talking about pressing on, pressing on, pressing on. And now the Apostle Paul gives us a few reasons for the pressing on. Number one, forget the past. Do you remember the story of Little Orphan Annie? Yeah. She had a very difficult life in the orphanage. They didn't like her. She didn't like them. She was forced to do extremely hard chores. Had a miserable life. But a happy ending for the little red-haired girl. She found out from billionaire Oliver Warbucks that her parents were really dead. The orphanage told her that the parents were alive and they were going to come and get her one day. But that was a lie. So Mr. Warbucks decided to adopt Annie. And when she found that out, her entire life changed. All of a sudden, from poverty, she was placed in unimaginable wealth. But that was not what was important to Annie. What was important to her is that somebody had chosen her for herself. And so she developed this little song that she sang to Mr. Warbucks. I don't need anything but you. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to us. We don't need anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says, forgetting those things which are behind. We all have a past, right? I mean, if you were alive yesterday, you have a past. If you're dead, you don't have any more past. But most of the time when we look at our past, there are some really neat things. We think about falling in love and all that that entails. We think about marriage and all of the difficulties that that entails. We think about having children, special days, accomplishments. So we have some positive things that we think about when we think about the past. And sometimes it just brings a nice smile to our face when we remember holding our first grandchild. And all of those things that some of us who are 39 and a little older have experienced. But the past can also have a dark side. In fact, the past can be a prison. It can be a time of bondage. Along with all the good memories are those times that we were hurt or we hurt someone else, where those failures that we experienced, the sins of our lives, and the moments that we did things that we know were absolutely positively wrong. There are tragedies in everybody's life. As you think about the past, there is a dark side as well as a bright side. Satan just loves to accuse us to one another. He loves to remind us of the dark side of our lives. The Apostle Paul had some experiences with that. The Scripture says, anyone who puts his hand to the plow should not look back. And that's what this press on is all about. And that phrase, put your hand to the plow, is simply a proverbial expression which means, I've decided to follow Jesus. Regardless, I've decided to follow Jesus. Not everybody carries through. The Apostle Paul had a friend by the name of Demas. And the Apostle Paul said, old Demas left me. He deserted me. because he loves the things of the world. So not everybody who puts their hand to the plow carries through. Demas is a fine example of that. Interestingly enough, when the Apostle Paul said he left me or deserted me, it's from a Greek word that means he left me in the lurch. This was a time in the Apostle Paul's life when he really needed somebody to be with him. But Demas took his hand off the plow and went back into the world. So how do you deal with your past? When you think about those things where you have failed, when I think about the places where I have failed, what do we do with them? We need to understand something about the past. The past is the past is the past is the past. You can't go back and do one single solitary thing about the past. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. And let me tell you, the Apostle Paul had some things in his past that were difficult to put aside. In Acts the 8th chapter, verse 1, we're introduced to Saul, and that was his name before he became Paul. This is what Saul says. He was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. You might remember that from the book of Acts. What kind of guy was Stephen? He was one of the chosen deacons, but he was head and shoulders above the other deacons. The scripture says he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. He was a man full of God's grace. He had power. He performed many miracles. He was a minister to everybody around him, preaching Christ and him crucified. He was a follower of the way. And the Apostle Paul, who became the Apostle Paul, Saul was so upset with him that he wanted to kill him as well. And so the interesting thing is, as Stephen spoke to the leaders, the Jewish leaders, and that covers two or three chapters, they became so incensed with the truth that they actually put their hands over their ears and said, we can't listen to this anymore. We've got to kill him. And they did. They stoned him to death, and the Apostle Paul was on the sidelines clapping, holding his cloaks. And then he took out to persecute the church with all of his heart. Tragedy. Do you know what they did? They hired a couple of guys to give false testimony against Stephen. They hired them and paid them, and it seems like everybody has a price. They'll do anything for a few bucks. We live in a world like that. I mean, stories are made up, lies are perpetrated as though they're the truth, and these two guys were hired to say that Stephen had committed blasphemy, not only against the Lord himself, but against Moses. And that was forbidden. And so as a result, he lost his life. But do you know what Stephen did? As they were stoning him to death, he looked up and he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. And this is what he said. Don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. There's one person who likes to remind us of our failures, and that's the adversary. He's an expert at that. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. And James, the 4th chapter, says, how do we deal with the adversary? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we must do that. When we start thinking about the past and what could have been or could not have been, and we look at our own lives and what we've been through and the failures that we have experienced, what do? We resist the devil. Because he will flee from us, because he is the one who likes to keep our minds any place except on the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had a lot in his dark past. And in fact, there was one occasion when the Apostle Paul said, "I'm the chiefest of all sinners." That's how he saw himself. He really wasn't the chiefest of all sinners, but that's how he saw himself. And what he needed to do at that time was to resist the devil, because the devil would flee from him. The second thing that the Apostle Paul gives us in the Philippian letter about how we live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ in difficult times is to press on in the present. "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." You know, during the Olympics, you see these people smash down the track in the 100-yard or the 440 or the mile or whatever it is, and they are straining with every ounce of their being to cross the finish line. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. And straining toward what is ahead. He wanted to get there to claim the prize that the Lord Jesus Christ had for him. How many of you saw the movie Facing the Giants? Well, a couple of you have seen that movie. There's a tremendous lesson because it's about a coach coaching in a Christian high school, coaching his team on to the state championship. That seems to be going around right now, playoffs and all that stuff. But he was coaching, and he was concerned about one of the leaders on the team. In fact, he was the leader on the team. And so he approached this young man, and he said, "I don't want you to ever give up. I want you to press on." So in order to help this young man understand what he meant by that, he blindfolded him, got him down on his hands and knees, took another player and placed him on his back, and basically told him to crawl to the other end of the field. And as they were doing that, the coach kept saying, "Don't quit. Don't give up." They called it the death crawl. And the kid finally made it clear to the other end of the field. And he never gave up. I don't know if that's what the Lord needs to do for us, but the passage of Scripture that we're looking at says, straining toward what is ahead. Press on, press on, press on. In the present. We can't press on yesterday. We can only press on today. What a lesson. The coach's encouragement changed this young man's life. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't drop out. And that's really important in this time. Don't quit. Don't drop out. Skeptics and unbelievers, make no mistake, are watching every one of you. How are you handling what's going on? Other believers are watching you. How are you handling what's going on? We need to understand that the Apostle Paul is telling us, don't quit. No matter what the circumstances are, don't quit. Press on, press on. You know, God was a marvelous optimist. Did you know that? Do you know why he was an optimist? Because he put the disciples in charge of winning the world. He put the disciples in charge of winning the world, that ragtag group of disciples who had so many problems. And yet, God, in his optimism, said, "It's your deal here. You go out and you win the world for Christ." And they did. think of Peter, brash Peter, always opened his mouth at the wrong time, made statements that he couldn't carry through, but after he was imbued with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he was out preaching the good news of Christ and was taken into prison and beaten. And when he got out, he said to his fellow workers, "I am so thankful that the Lord counted me worthy to receive stripes on his behalf." I don't know whether that would apply to us. I don't know whether if we were put in prison because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as many are around the world, that we would say, "I'm so thankful that I was counted worthy to suffer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." That could come, by the way. You better pay attention to what's going on in our world, because things are difficult. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read a passage of Scripture this morning from Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 11 through 14. And he deals with where some Christians are and where we need to be. There's much more we would like to say about this. Paul is talking to the people who made up the church, the Hebrew church. "But it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teachers, teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are not like babes who need milk. You are like babes who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong." That's a good passage of Scripture to read from Hebrews, the 5th chapter, 11 through 14. And it kind of helps us understand where we are. Are we babes? Are we mature? Do we need to go back and examine the first things? Or are we ready to press on into the deeper things? The Christian life is a race. It's a fight. It's a battle. And Paul is telling us, don't quit. Press on. And then very quickly, the third point. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're straining for, to inherit that new glorious body that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us. Most of you are familiar with Johnny Erickson Tada, a quadriplegic who was paralyzed in a diving accident when she was just a teenager. Now, I want you to think about what this woman has been through. She couldn't use her hands. She can't feed herself. She can't brush her own teeth. She can't go to the bathroom without help. She is a total quadriplegic. But you know, she did get married. And on her wedding day, she had one of those automatic, you push a button and it goes, wheelchairs. As she came into the church, she looked down and discovered that she had run over a part of her wedding dress, and there was grease on it from the tires of her her machine. She said it was decorated for her wedding day, but it was still an ugly, chunky, gray machine. She said, "I certainly didn't feel at that point like a perfect bride in a bridal magazine." Then she said, "I caught a glimpse of Ken. The love in his face had washed away all my feelings of unworthiness. I was his pure and perfect bride." And then she went on to explain, so it is with Jesus Christ. He loves us with bright eyes. Basically, we're quadriplegics. We don't have it within us to be everything that he wants us to be. But with his bright eyes and the gift of the Holy Spirit, he can take our inadequacies and make us worthy. The blood and the water that flowed from his body when he was crucified has released for us freedom from brokenness and bondage, cleared us of our sins, and we become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a hymn in our hymnals, and it's simply called, "When We See Christ." It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. What's the one word you're supposed to carry away today? Two words. Press on. By his grace, by his might, by his power. Let's be standing as we sing our hymn of invitation, our closing hymn. Count your blessings, and that's a good thing to do during this month.